Hello, everybody. This is Chris Lim with the Theotech Podcast, and as you can imagine, it's been a very long time since we've had a new episode, and the reason why is that I had a son, my firstborn son. His name's Athanasius, or Athos for short. Yes, that's right. His nickname is like the one in the Three Musketeers. His name is Athanasius Lysander Lim, Xinchen, which means sincere faith in Chinese. So I'm here with my wife, Kathleen.
Hi.
And we just figured, because this is kind of the first podcast in a long time, it'd be great to share about our parenting journey and maybe some of the stuff we're learning about theology of technology in the middle of it. But it really is just about a catch-up episode for how things are going. So thanks for joining us, Kathleen. And let's talk about, maybe to start with, the Amazon Echo skill that we worked on together to help us in the early days of Athos.
Yeah, it's been a great skill. Super helpful to have this Amazon Echo skill. I guess how it works is that you can tell the skill what you whether you want to record a feed, a poopy diaper, a wet diaper, or a pump start. So you can then have all of that
information just like logged.
Yes.
So we discovered early on that it was really hard to like track everything, and the hospital gave us like, you know, one of those like photocopied paper sheets to like log every detail of like when did he poop and when did we feed him and stuff, and that was just not gonna happen.
Yeah, so I think it's difficult to do that when you're holding a baby, and for example, if he has a wet diaper and you're trying to change the diaper, and then to put him down and log something, to log it on with a pen and paper versus just to say, hey Alexa, log this diaper, or log
poopy like, diaper,
yeah, or log this start pump, or that is so much easier to do when you've got a squirmy little guy who wants your attention all the time.
Yeah, and when your hands are covered in butt paste.
Yeah.
So I've definitely felt like I gained a newfound appreciation for hands-free technology when Athos was born.
Definitely.
I wanted to have hands-free like coding, hands-free email writing, hands-free everything, because my hands are always full.
Yeah, I actually, even before that, I didn't even want headphones that I'm like so low tech here, I have to admit, so low tech, but I didn't even care for headphones that were wireless. And then now that's all I ever use, because he's gonna tug on my headphones, and it's just interesting because, well, that's a whole different thing, but we can go back to the Alexa skill.
Yeah.
With the Alexa skill, what's great about it is it provides, it's something I can be consistent with, and you can be on the same page. And one of my favorite features of that skill is when you can say, Alexa, ask baby log what happened, which then gives you the last three, the last three things that have happened. You know what time his diaper was changed. You know what time
his bottle started,
so that you know you have about 2 hours before he needs a new bottle, or 2 hours till that milk is no longer good. We are still breastfeeding our baby. So that's one of my favorite features, because that way Chris can actually know when that all happened, when he takes the baby. And then when my grandma was here taking care of Athos, she's so cute. She's like this older Filipino lady, and she's just like, Alexa, tell me this, or like just asking Alexa what happened, and then she gets to know then exactly when he was fed and when to heat up the milk from the fridge, which is great. That's allowed me to then be able to take a longer nap during the newborn phase, and it really takes a mental load off to know that everyone can be on the same page.
So that was actually, there's two big benefits there. One was the hands-free, and then the second one was we're all operating off the same, like, database or the same page, basically.
Yeah,
which
was
really nice.
Really nice.
I remember when we worked on the skill that it was so great to be able to integrate it with Trello. Trello is like a task management app that we were already using for our marriage before Athos was born, and we discovered that, well, it has an API and stuff, and we discovered that we could just hook it up to Trello, which is way better because Trello has the nice mobile apps and stuff. So every time you would add an entry to the log, it could notify me on my phone and all these other things. And it was so easy. I didn't have to build a whole backend for it the way we would normally have to if we were just using Amazon's built-in stuff.
I actually laugh because I know that when Chris is out with his friends, and I change a poopy diaper and I record it, that his phone is dinging and he's out with a buddy getting a beer. It's like, oh, your baby's diaper was just changed. And like, it's fun to think of that.
Kind of fun, actually. Yeah. I think I actually turned off the notifications on that board.
Thanks.
No, but it was really helpful in those early days, because every time that I would have to do something, I could just check the log and know, like, okay, this bottle's going to go bad in like 5 minutes, or, mm-hmm. you know, the diaper was not changed yet and it's already been 4 hours, so I should just change it. It really reduces the amount of like checking we have to do with like, wait, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Because yeah. It's all there.
And what's great is it, I don't even remember when I gave him that bottle. You know, like, I don't know when I'm so out of it, and frankly, I still am.
Baby brain. We both have mushy baby brain.
Right. Yeah. And so it's really great to have that reminder. And I love that it's so easy to do. Because if it were tedious, I just wouldn't do it. But it's just a voice command. And that, that's what makes it so that
yeah.
we can keep it up for as long as we have, I guess.
It was also nice that when we're out and about and not at home, we can still just add a log entry on Trello.
Right. And we do that on our phones. We log it on Trello. It's on the same board on Trello. So I don't use my voice for that one. I'm pretty sure you could set it up so that you could.
We could still use Alexa on your phone.
And I could probably do an iPhone shortcut.
You could do that too. Yep.
And I haven't done that. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't go out as much. So then maybe that's why. But what's great is like, I can be pumping in the car and I can add a start pump, or
yeah,
I could just say, you know, gave the baby the bottle in the car and
mm-hmm. I just like, for me, it's been so cool to realize like we have access to all these really powerful tools, but we don't get the full benefit out of them because they really do require that customization or something to the point where it makes it so easy to use for our lives, like what we actually need, mm-hmm. like the iPhone shortcuts thing, like until we actually make the shortcut. Even though the capability is there, we don't really benefit from it. Or like the Echoes that I have lying around the house, like adding the skill has made them all like so much more useful.
Right.
Right. Like, yeah. But we had to build a skill. What's
interesting is I look around and whenever a room doesn't have an Echo, I'm like, ah.
I'm sure Amazon would like to hear that right now.
Referral bonus. Well, before we had this baby,
it didn't matter.
It didn't really matter to me, I think. Then this skill has really changed how I perceive the usefulness of Echoes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree with you, because before it's just more like a novelty of like, okay, I can make it do my music or set timers.
Yeah, set timers. And it was fine.
Setting but a timer is fine. Been like,
and honestly, I wasn't like the biggest fan of the music quality of the Echoes. I didn't really use it for that.
Oh yeah.
Well,
we didn't have the nicest ones.
Yeah. But another nice thing about Echoes in general with babies is that it integrates with Spotify.
Oh.
And so what we have is we have Athos listen to this Christian lullaby station before he goes to bed. And then so we just say, Alexa, play Christian lullabies on Spotify. And he listens to that. And now that's his cue for going to sleep. And that's why... Oh, it's going off right now. That's why I have loved having so many Echoes in the house.
Because you can be anywhere and put him to sleep, kind of, just by telling it to play that. Yeah,
we could definitely get him to go, to signal him to go to bed.
And he knows the songs now.
He knows the songs.
Yeah. So I never really appreciated kind of the potential that we have with all this ubiquitous, you know, technology like the Echo or Trello on our phones or whatever like that, until it kind of like all came together for a really specific desperate need, which is like handling our baby in the newborn days.
We were so desperate. And you know what it felt like? We were just, I don't know, we were both like run over by a truck or something every single day, or that's what it felt like.
Well, I didn't know that it was possible to live off of like 3 hours of sleep for like a month.
Or every three. Day.
Yeah, 3 months. That was really hard.
That was really hard. Yeah. And yeah, so we just had some exceptional challenges with feeding, but somehow are still breastfeeding.
I know. It's great to have all these technology aids, but like it would have been wonderful if he could just have eaten really easily. Like it would have solved so many problems for us. Like we wouldn't be as stressed out or tired or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. One other benefit of having all the data in the log, which we haven't tried yet, is that I could probably feed it into one of the, like, ChatGPT or something like that and ask it to analyze, like, hey, how's my baby doing or something? Like, you know, how's he feeding well enough or all this stuff?
Yeah.
So, like, having all the data in that one place in a digital format also makes it easy to do analysis on it with these other tools.
What I like is that you can create what you need. You can customize it. and I know we haven't done this, but sometimes you'll give him 5 ounces, but he'll only finish 4. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have to manually enter in, oh, he ate 4 ounces instead of 5. And I'm too lazy to do that most days. And so I just kind of remember because I'm with him a lot. So I just remember how much he eats and I add it all up in my head. But what's great is that you can customize it to do to do these things.
I'm just putting my thing on Do Not Disturb because it's annoying to hear in the background pinging. Focus mode for 1 hour. I think that one thought I had early on was just how, maybe being new parents, there's so many things that I don't really appreciate until I'm a parent, because then they start making sense.
I think we actually don't have a baby monitor.
Oh, that's interesting. We don't.
So I think I have a newfound appreciation for video calling and muting on one side.
Yeah, we did hack that together. So, like, we did have a camera that could be used as a baby monitor and stuff, but our son really wanted to be with us most of the time. And the camera feature actually was a disadvantage, because if you're breastfeeding, then there's privacy issues too. So it would be better just to have audio. But what was nice is because we had all the echoes all over the house, is we could just use drop-in and drop-in on the room where he is sleeping and be in another room altogether. Mm-hmm. And that's just audio. And it worked really great, actually. And it was nice because it was, again, all so convenient. Mm-hmm. So this is feeling like kind of one big Alexa ad. I didn't realize it would end up this way. But, like, we're really feeling the benefits of it in a way we never did when we were just, like, you know.
Yeah, because why would I drop in on you? why would I drop in?
You're sus. I'm going to check on you. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that we find new uses of capabilities that make sense now, like, mm-hmm. that we didn't think of before.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what are the deeper challenges you feel like now that you have experienced being a mom for a while? Because I know that we've had lots of conversations about just how it can be all consuming, and then you feel like you don't really have other interests or a life or other things like that, or even just like talking to another adult. Mm-hmm. That's like more. I don't know if technology has a place to play in that, but what are those challenges, and what have you experienced with making a cozy ecosystem environment around you to try to help with that?
Are we talking technology still?
Maybe it's not. Maybe we start
tie it into technology.
Maybe we start with just like calling your family or texting friends or something.
I found that I'm calling my family and texting friends more.
Yeah,
because I'm trying to stay more in touch with family,
and it's more of an intentional effort.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, family and friends.
But that's probably not everything, right? There's two kinds of connection there. One type is maybe more for the family, to kind of send him pictures of Athos and how he's doing, right, and how he's growing, which is for their benefit.
Right.
But there's another kind of connection that's more for your benefit, like just needing to be refreshed and to have somebody like empathize with what you're going through or something like that.
Yeah. I don't even know if I can fully answer this. Maybe this is a current need.
Yeah.
Which is the like mom empathy or something like that.
Yeah.
I was talking to my mom earlier today and she was saying, so are you still cleaning the house with Athos in tow? And I said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And are you still, you know, cooking with Athos in tow? And I said, yes.
We can talk about some of those from a technology angle too. Because I was thinking that when it comes to cleaning, we have like a Roomba, which is a robot vacuum.
Right.
But we're not using it that much.
What? I use it a lot.
Well, we use it now that you're kind of limiting it to certain sectors or zones, right? Because
again,
it's more hands-free, which is nice. Uh-huh. But I noticed that also because with Athos, maybe more than before, there's always things all over the floor. It can't do its job as well. Like, you can't just kind of turn it on and let it kind of go through the whole house and rummage around and do everything.
Right.
Because you have to actually clear out a space or, like, mm-hmm. tell it to do a specific zone. And maybe that's not really a weakness of the product. It's just kind of the reality of the situation with baby things everywhere.
Yeah.
And then also with cooking, I think we started to try to do Instant Pot more.
Instant Pot cooking, yep.
Yeah. So, but what changes there? It's sort of like, is it just practical necessity, you think? Or do you think also there's been a change of, like...
I need things that are quick.
Yeah.
I need things I can... If I have 2 nap times in a day where I can cook, like, I need 1 nap time to be chopping vegetables and the other one to be putting it in the Instant Pot and letting it run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no longer take out the nice Staub cookware.
Yeah.
And make a fancy chili.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And following nice recipes
and getting all the ingredients. Or like a really, really yummy curry.
Yeah.
It's really about like what's quick.
What's achievable in the little bits of time, scraps of time that you get.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tricky. It is tricky. And I think And I do want to pay attention to Athos, right? I want to be... I set him down a lot so I can do things.
Yeah.
But I also want to play with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think a whole lot of this motherhood journey and being by yourself at home is, oh my goodness, I can feel so bored. And I feel a little bit ashamed saying that.
Why?
Because I feel like I need to be like, this is the most magical experience of my life.
Oh.
And it is one of the most magical experiences of my life, having Athos.
Yeah.
And at the same time, when I'm trying to get him to feed at 3 a.m. and it takes him a good hour to do so because he just doesn't want to eat. He's a tough feeder.
Yeah.
I'm on my phone a lot reading, mm-hmm. or... using your like little light that you little book
the
light,
reading light, the reading yeah. light
you gave me on YouTube a lot, researching all sorts of things,
yeah,
all sorts of different topics. And so at one point I was just scrolling through YouTube shorts, and it's honestly not the best, but I do it to stay awake.
Yeah, but that's the thing, it's like I feel like sometimes we can be critical of our media consumption habits, like, oh, you know, it's so unhealthy just to be scrolling YouTube, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some element of, like you said, it's just to stay awake, literally, so that you don't fall asleep when you're trying to pump or feed him.
Uh-huh.
And it's also interesting how, like, because of his attention span and how much he needs us to be present with him or whatever, it does kind of break up our day so that we don't have as much, like, big blocks of time to do things. Like, even this podcast is a luxury to be able to record this while, like, we're sneaking it in between during his nap,
right?
And it changes my media consumption habits too, because like I'm finding that I'm just reading like short articles or like watching short YouTube clips or Facebook mm-hmm. clips too, rather than going deep into something, which I would much rather do if I could, right? Yeah. And to have the time to explore and to study deeply and read deeply and stuff, it's just all broken up because I never know when I'm gonna get interrupted again with some other thing I have to immediately take care of. Mm-hmm. So like it's interesting to see how our media consumption isn't just like due to bad habits on our part or whatever, but it's actually like the very fragmented nature of our time. Like the fact that our time is so fragmented makes us only snack on little things.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And at the same time, because we have that fragmented time, I'm now seeing time differently.
Oh.
When I think 45 minutes, I think, yes, I have so much I can get done. And when we were married, but without a child, or when we were dating, 45 minutes felt like such a short amount.
It's like, that's not enough time. That's not
enough time to do anything. I can't do anything in 45 minutes. And now I think that that's...
Now it's like super luxury.
Exactly.
Yeah, it totally is. It has been good to see that as hopeless as it could feel sometimes, he is actually able to be independent for longer and longer periods of time. That's been cool.
Mm-hmm. And we're not doing screen time.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Yeah, because that's a different kind of technology.
Yeah.
The lack of it.
So why don't you explain, like, that desire not to give Athos screen time? What have you personally valued and experienced in that?
I don't know if that's even rooted in a lot of research for me, because I know there is research saying that screen time can cause developmental delays.
Delays, right? Yeah.
But personally, I wanted him to just know how to have fun without the screen.
Hmm.
And how to entertain himself. I wanted him to imagine, to play in his own
mind
and to be curious about things. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it was.
I've definitely noticed how like he does have access to screens sometimes to talk to people, like his family and other people like that, like not literally talk, but like we'll show the camera.
I think he gets confused.
He's like, because he tries to reach for them and then they're not there. He tries to touch the screen. Like my dad the other day showed him a watermelon and he wanted it and he would grab the screen and he was like, oh, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So he does get confused by that. He does get
confused.
Yeah. But we're not using it to occupy him.
Yeah.
And even TVs and other things like that.
Isn't it interesting that when he sees his great grandma, his acho, when he sees her in person, he smiles at her. But then when he sees her on a screen, he just kind of looks at her like, well, why are you in there?
Mm-hmm. It is really interesting.
Yeah.
He's kind of curious and like, wait, what? This little magical window into this other location mm-hmm. that I can't touch or reach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think and it's also interesting that he has a fascination with grabbing our phones, probably because we are also grabbing
our phones. Because he sees us looking at our phones all the time, so he wants to know what's up with that thing.
Yeah, what's up with that thing?
Or like, you're on my phone background, so he's also like curious about like, is that mom?
Yeah.
I think that it's not just keeping him away from screens, but it's also trying to put in his environment things that he can interact with and play with. We were surprised when we played guitar in front of him and he really liked it. Yeah. Like, he just kind of would stare at both hands and look at the music. It feels amazing to be able to give him access to other things that he finds really interesting that he can use his body on mm-hmm. and his mind and his ears and everything like that and try to figure it out, like, what's going on.
So can you believe that Chris Lim's living room, the most technologically advanced piece of
hardware that we
have, I guess, is the Alexa.
Again, it's an Echo.
It's the Echo.
Because we got rid of the TV just now.
Yeah, I guess it's called an Echo.
And instead he'll have access to piano, guitar, or mm-hmm. lots of books, like board books that he can eat.
What does a 7-month-old do with Newtonian physics? He eats it.
Newtonian physics for babies.
Yeah, for babies.
Or the computer engineering book for babies.
Yeah, little rocket science for babies.
Yeah.
He just chews on it.
But I will say that it is a luxury and really hard to kind of make the primary thing that captivates his attention people, like us, interacting with him. Because I still think that's more.
Is that hard?
I feel like
it seems pretty natural for him.
No, he loves it. I meant hard on us as parents.
It's hard.
Yeah, oh my gosh. That's my point. It's like, it's a big sacrifice and commitment to a higher value, which is that we want Athos to have his primary, like, interaction and learning and development be through interacting with humans, like, with us.
Yeah, because he looks at me and he's like, Mom, I've played with all my 12 toys that you've set out for me. And I've played with you and I'm bored. And then how about my 12 toys downstairs? And now I'm bored again.
Yeah. He gets bored really quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so tempting just to, like, kind of occupy him, but that's not what we choose to do.
Right.
Yeah. It was interesting to hear in that Baby Brain Rules book that we weren't meant to do this, like, this way. That at least in human history, you'd have a lot of people for babies to interact with. It takes a village kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we're more like day to day, it's just us and him.
I think Athos doesn't like that hybrid setup in terms of interacting with people. He prefers... He prefers in person.
He prefers in person.
Definitely. He gets confused. I guess you can't really say that he prefers just the electronics either.
No,
He just prefers in person.
I think he just likes it when he can touch and, like, be held or, like, play and everything else like that. Yeah. Definitely. What does that mean?
Well, it's interesting because I know that during the pandemic we were thinking, like, how can we do hybrid where even in churches you could do in person and then you could do online. And that's really what we're doing for Athos right now.
Yes.
In terms of communicating with his extended family.
Yeah.
So Mom and Dad are in person, some friends are in person, some family members are in person, but really it's not every day. It could be maybe every other day, maybe once every 3 days that he sees more than just Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
He's not currently in daycare, so that's...
Yeah, he needs more social. But it is interesting that you mentioned churches, because I feel like one benefit of the virtual side of church is that as parents it's hard to go in person all the time, and so you can still stay somewhat connected online, even if you can't make it in person.
Yeah. And it was funny because this past weekend I woke up in tears because I had stayed up till 4 a.m. trying to do all the things, like help the baby sleep, kind of clean up a little bit, take a shower, all that jazz. And then I get up and I'm crying because I woke up at 10 a.m., which is when church begins.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go to church so badly.
Yeah.
And then so Chris, being the very thoughtful husband that he is, he starts streaming the service, and I feel a little better that we can have it, that we're streaming it. Yeah, we're not going in person, we're not socializing, but okay, we're streaming it, and we're playing with his toys, we're playing with Athos. And I realized that had we gone to church that day, we would have been in the nursery room.
Doing the same thing. Yeah, so the only difference was really the social at that point.
Yeah, I think I wanted to see people.
Yeah, and he would have gone to see people, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, is it this hard for other parents, right?
Yeah.
Is it this hard? And I don't know. I guess there are certain things we're choosing to do. Breastfeeding a baby who doesn't like breast milk.
He swats away his bottle. Yeah.
Swatting away his bottle all the time. Not wanting to eat until he's asleep.
Yep.
And so that's a challenge. And interacting with him more than using technology. I'd say that part of this is opting out of certain technologies. And I don't even know if that's, like, a good thing. I'm not saying this is the way to parent. But
Yeah, but
it's what we're doing. Is
like the most animated thing we give him is probably that gift that we got, the elephant toy that can sing and kind of move its ears around and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and that's great. Like, honestly, I've used that quite a few times. I just keep playing the song over and over again.
It gives you 30 seconds. Yes. It gives you 30 seconds to do something
to preoccupy him for a bit. Yeah. And I know some parents who don't even do that. They don't use even like you know, electronic toys.
Yeah, he has two electronic toys.
We have that. I can't imagine not having those toys. Oh man.
Yeah.
It's been interesting, I think, to be more thoughtful about technology in having a son. Like, I think before it's easy just kind of, I know you've always been more judicious about using it. But I think for me, it's more like, well, what can I do with this? What can I do with that? You know, it's more like, what can I do with it?
Right.
And then now it's like a lot more aware of like, well, are there other side effects? Like, just because I could use this, should I actually, you know, just because it helps with this one small problem, it could have other problems too. And it's, I think it's forced me to kind of slow down more and think about all those things. And maybe think more about a more interesting question, just about what kind of life do we want to live? And how does technology fit into that, right?
That is such a fascinating question. I love that question. Because I think I went the other way. Okay. I was like, I'm too addicted to technology, and so I want to cut it out of my life as much as possible.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. That's where I landed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe after my college days.
Oh, I see. And so you kind of cut back.
And
yeah.
I realized I kind of missed out. I kind of missed out. I don't even feel like a millennial half the time because I'm like, how do you use hashtags? You know what I mean? Like...
yeah. Missed on the fads, the trends.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm missing out on these fads and trends. And then it became about the philosophy of technology, right? Mm. And then how do you make it serve you mm-hmm. instead of the other way around? But then how do you make it so that that's consistent?
Mm-hmm.
Even in parenting.
Yeah. I remember even when we were just dating or something, we ended up spending some time to use the features that exist but are not the easiest to use about controlling notifications, like on your phone, because mm-hmm. it would always interrupt our conversations or dates and stuff, and it would make me go anxious, and you're like, what did you, like, you know, why, how did I lose you?
Yeah, because you,
like,
imagine on a romantic date with the love of your life, and all of a sudden he's just the most anxious guy. And just mm-hmm. because he received a notification,
mm-hmm.
like,
a pin.
Oh man. And for somebody that, and I remember too, I would sit there, we'd be waiting in line and I'm all looking for some quality time, looking to enjoy time with my husband. And he's getting all these pings and I'm like, dang it. I'm by myself. I'm just like sitting in this line by myself. Mm. And so it can be very isolating to disconnect from technology for me, because if I had allowed myself to do something else, then maybe, you know, I could preoccupy myself.
I know, but then we miss out on that chance to connect.
Yep.
And I honestly, like, it puzzles me why it's so hard to put phones into a more of a do not disturb state. For example, during this recording, I put my computer into do not disturb because I was getting all these pings, and yet the pings still come through.
Oh.
And then I also did it on my phone too, and yet it still comes through. And I discovered with you, actually, on Android at least, that it's actually better not to use Do Not Disturb. It's better to put your phone on silence and then turn off Vibrate too, like all the way off. And that actually blocks it out completely, versus Do Not Disturb is some weird like rules that filter some apps are allowed, some are not. And and then the other thing was also, I remember how annoying it was to get constant pings.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's so easy just to build it so that you only at most get one ping every 5 minutes or one ping every 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
but neither iOS, as far as I know, and neither Android has built that into the phone. And it's like one of the most basic things, because it lets you know, hey, there's something important here, but it doesn't keep bothering you and interrupting you,
uh-huh.
right? And you can get to it later at your own time.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I wish. Like,
it's like a kid is like, dad, dad, yes. dad.
You know, like, exactly, except it's not a kid.
It's not a
it's
kid.
It's a phone.
You're right. And another thing I think about with all of these distractions that you're mentioning is how hard it is. For us, how hard it's been to get time together and to just be able to relax in that. And then add on all the pings that don't even necessarily need...
They're not your baby.
They're not your baby.
Yeah.
and it doesn't necessarily need to be there, right? To be a part of your daily life, even, to have all of those pings, all of those distractions, because you're already distracted with a baby and it's already so hard to find time to meaningfully connect with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also that. So that this is all just part of how can it be very useful
yeah.
for your life and how can it really enhance what you want. And I think a part of that is actually knowing what is it that we want, right?
Yep. It is. And that's a harder question and we don't have to get to it on this recording, but
right.
it is a really exciting one too. Because I honestly, like given like the full conversation that we had today, I feel so energized by the idea of more of that hands-free technology and the things that we could do with Echo. Mm-hmm. What else can we do with that? Because it's mm-hmm. so empowering in the midst of the difficulties of handling Athos.
Yeah.
And then I feel so discouraged by the state of notification management and how interruptive it is and everything like that. And at the same time, it's like two different ways to look at technology. One's like, what can you make? Mm-hmm. And the other one is, what do you curate, or how do we exercise right. more good judgment in how we want to set this up and use it? Well, thanks, Kathleen, for joining me on this episode, on thanks this first episode me. Since we have been, since we've been comparents.
Yes.
And to all of our podcast listeners, so sorry for the hiatus, and I hope that you can understand our situation and have enjoyed just reconnecting briefly on this episode. But God willing, I hope we can do many more in the future, both together and also other theology of technology topics. There's a lot of things going on in AI right now that I haven't really spoken at all about because I honestly have baby brain right now, so I'm not sure if I have much to say. But maybe in a future episode, we will get to some of that stuff, and that'll be really fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So, all right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the Theotech Podcast. Until next time.